ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapters 18 to 21. Approximately of Srimad Bhagavatam of the 8th canto, discussing the appearance, 15 to 19, discussing the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva and his deliverance of Bali Maharaj. So first we'll give some first we'll chant some Mangalacharana prayers, and then we'll give some introduction to the topic, and then we'll recite this verse from the 19th chapter. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakaravayam Dadati Swaparantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devaya Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakti Deshatarane Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the activities of Maharaj Bali are described. Bali was the grandson of Maharaj Bhakta Prahlad. And as you all know, Prahlad was the son of Hiranyakashipu. So Bali was born in a family of demons, although his grandfather and father were devotees of the Lord. Even his great-grandfather, Hiranyakashipu, was also a devotee, from Vaikuntha. So Bali Maharaj, after his father left this world, Virochana, his father left this world, he was very powerful. He was a devotee of the Lord, but he had some material desires, and he was a member of the family of the demons. So there was some historical enmity between the demigods and the demons. So the Bali Maharaj, on behalf of the demons, he conquered over the heavenly planets. He was very powerful. He was able to defeat all the demigods, and the demigods approached their spiritual master, Brihaspati, and Brihaspati said, "You better go hide somewhere." He says, "There's nothing we can do. Bali is too powerful. You go and make yourselves invisible." So the demigods, they left heaven, heavenly planets, and they hid themselves in various places. And Bali Maharaj and his demon relatives, they took over the heavenly planets. So in this circumstance, although Bali was very, very pious, but he was born in a demoniac family, and he had some material desires. So he was ruling over kingdom and enjoying, fulfilling his material desires, ruling over heaven. Hare Krishna. So, Aditi was the mother of Indra, the mother of all the demigods. So, Aditi and her sister Diti, they had some family dispute. So, Aditi was not very happy seeing that the previously her sons were in charge of the heavens, heavenly planets, but now the sons of her sister and the descendants of her sister Diti, they had taken over the heavenly planets. So she was very, very unhappy, and she was just completely morose. Her husband Kashyapa, he had gone to perform austerities. So after performing austerities for many years, he came back to his home where Aditi was, and he saw that she was lamenting very greatly. He saw all the symptoms that she had been lamenting. So he asked her, "What is the reason for your lamentation?" And she says, "Well, my sons, I cannot see my sons anymore. They've all gone and hidden. So I cannot see them anymore. I'm very much missing them. And the sons of my sister Diti, instead, they're ruling over the heaven." So he said, she asked him, "So you can, if you can tell me some process, I want to help my sons to regain the heavenly planets." So he said, "Okay." He says, "I learned from Lord Vishnu about one vrata called the Payovrata. And by performing the Payovrata, you can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will be pleased with you, and he'll satisfy your desires." So she said, yes, "I'm very much interested to perform this vrata. You please instruct me how to do it." So Kashyapa Muni gave her the process for performing this Payovrata, and she performed it very faithfully. And at the conclusion of the vrata, Lord Vishnu himself appeared before her with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma in his full wearing yellow garments. And he said, "So you've pleased me very much by performing this Payovrata. So now you ask for me some boon, whatever boon you'd like, you ask for me." She said, "I want you to become my son. So you please become my son." So he said, "Certainly, you're Tatastu." And then he departed from that place. So then very soon, Aditi became pregnant. And it became, it was understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared within her womb. So in due course of time, on the very auspicious day that we're observing today, Vijaya Dashami, Shravan Dvadasi. So he's Aditi gave birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, appearing, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, just to reassure her that he was the Supreme Lord. He appeared before her and before Kashyapa with his full opulence. And then he took the form of a small small human being, a dwarf of Vamana. So he's called Lord Vamanadeva. So Lord Vamanadeva, he was a very, very beautiful young boy, very short in stature, not very tall, but he had a blackish complexion, and he was very, very, very beautiful. So Kashyapa and Aditi were very happy that with the appearance of Vamanadeva. So they performed, but he was already grown up of sufficient age to be able to accept the initiation. So he was initiated and he received his Brahmin thread and performed all the ceremonies as the son of a Brahmin. And so he accepted all these and he accepted the worship of his parents. And then he set off for the Narmada River. And the northern side of the Narmada River was a very auspicious place known as the place of the descendants of Bhrigu Muni. So Bali Maharaj was there. He was performing Ashvamedha Yajnas at this very auspicious place. So he was performing Ashvamedha Yajnas and assisted by the descendants of Bhrigu Muni, who were very powerful Brahmins. So this small dwarf Brahmin, very effulgent, he entered into the assembly of that yajna. And immediately, because of his effulgence, everyone immediately was very much astonished to see how wonderfully beautiful and effulgent he was. And they all stood up to offer their respects to him. And he accepted their worship, and Bali Maharaj approached him, offered him respects. He says, "I see that you're a Brahmin. You have come here, please. You sit." And he washed the feet of Lord Vamanadeva, sprinkled the water on his head, performed all the worship of Lord Vaman. And he said, then he began to speak according to Shastra. He spoke about religious principles, and he spoke about the process of receiving a Brahmana, and that one should offer all respects to a Brahmin. And he inquired about Lord Vamana's welfare, which is the proper thing to do when an exalted person comes. You seat them comfortably, worship them, inquire, how are you? Is everything okay with you? And is there anything I can do for you? So Bali Maharaj offered, whatever you would like, any need you have, you please tell me, I will supply. So Vamanadeva was very pleased to hear the dharmic discourse of Bali Maharaj, and he began to praise Bali Maharaj. And how do you praise a powerful person? Oh, you talk about his dynasty. And he glorified Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, how valiant they were in battle, how very powerful they were. And he glorified Virochana, how his father, Bali's father Virochana, had given in charity the duration of his life for the benefit of of the for the Brahmins. And Vamanadeva also spoke about the importance of following religious principles. And he especially emphasized that if one has promised to give some charity, one should give. If one has made a promise to a Brahmin to give charity, then one has to fulfill that promise. And he talked about how your ancestors, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they were very charitable. They did not, none of your ancestors have ever not followed their promise. He very much talked about how important it was to give in charity according to one's ability and according to one's vow, promise. So, after speaking very nicely, then Bali Maharaj said, "So you speak to me whatever you would like, and I promise I will give." And then Shukracharya heard that. Shukracharya was the guru of Bali Maharaj. Shukracharya heard that and he said, "Well, this is not very good." So Shukracharya, he came to Bali Maharaj and he said, "You don't know what you have done." And then this is one of the verses that Shukracharya speaks in this connection. So chapter 19, text number 32. Esha te sthanam aishvaryam shriyam tejo yasha shrutam dasyati achidya shakraya maya manavako hari esha te sthanam aishvaryam Shriyam tejo yashakshutam dasyatya chidya shakraya maya manavako hari esha te sthanam aishvaryam Shriyam tejo yashakshutam dasyatya chidya shakraya maya manavako hari. Esha te sthanam aishvaryam sho yashakshutam dasyatya chidya shakraya maya manavako hari esha te sthanam aishvaryam shriyam tejo yashakshutam dasyatya chidya shakraya maya manavako hari esha te sthanam aishvaryam tejo yashakshutam raya maya manavako hari esha te sthanam aishvaryam tejo yashakshutam dasyatya chidya shakraya maya manavako hari esha te sthanam aishvaryam shriyam tejo yashakshutam
asya tyachedya shakraya maya manavako hari esha.
This person falsely appearing as a brahmachari.
Te,
of you.
Sthanam,
the land in possession.
Aishwaryam,
the riches.
Shriyam,
the material beauty.
Teja,
the material power.
Yasha,
the reputation.
Shrutam,
the education.
Dasyati,
will give.
Achidya,
taking from you.
Shakraya,
unto your enemy, Lord Indra.
Maya,
falsely appearing.
Manavaka,
a brahmachari son of a living being.
Hari,
he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Translation, this person falsely appearing as a brahmachari is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Purport. By Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in this regard that the very word Hari means one who takes away. If one connects himself with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord takes away all his miseries. And in the beginning, the Lord also superficially appears to take away all his material possessions, reputation, education, and beauty. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, yasyaham anugrihnami harishye taddhanam shanai. The Lord said to Maharaj Yudhishthir, the first installment of my mercy toward a devotee is that I take away all his possessions, especially his material opulence, his money. This is a special favor of the Lord toward a sincere devotee. If a sincere devotee wants Krishna above everything, but at the same time is attached to material possessions, which hinder his advancement in Krishna consciousness, by tactics the Lord takes away all his possessions. Here, Shukracharya says that this dwarf brahmacharya would take away everything. Thus he indicates that the Lord will take away all one's material possessions and also one's mind. If one delivers his mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo, one can naturally sacrifice everything to satisfy him. Although Bali Maharaj was a devotee, he was attached to material possessions, and therefore the Lord, being very kind to him, showed him special favor by appearing as Lord Vamana to take away all his material possessions and his mind as well. So, here Shukracharya is saying, you don't know what's going to happen. So, he says, he goes on to say, you have promised to give him land and charity, but when you give it, he will occupy the three worlds. Shukracharya chastises him. You are a rascal. You do not know what a great mistake you have made. After giving everything to Lord Vishnu, you will have no means of livelihood. How then shall you live? And he said, you'll be, in any case, you'll not be able to fulfill your promise. Because Vamana David asked, for three steps of land. Only just three steps of land. Three steps of land. Even Bali was objecting. When Vamana first asked for three steps of land, Bali was objecting. Why only three steps of land? Why only three steps? You'll have
in your lifetime you'll have so many material desires. At least you should take one of the islands of Jambudvip. Vamana said, if someone's senses are uncontrolled, no matter how much they have, they'll also want more. So even if I were to get one of the islands of Jambudvip, then I would want all the islands. I would want more. So someone who has material desires, he's agitated for material possessions, says nothing can satisfy him. Nothing will satisfy him. He'll always be in anxiety and wanting more and more. So why should I take more than I need? I only need 3 steps of land. And Vamana was speaking very sweet words to Bali in order to impress him. He says, I only need 3 steps of land. So Shukracharya now he's saying, if you give him 3 steps of land, you promise to give him 3 steps of land. In any case, you won't be able to fulfill that promise. Because with 2 steps, you'll take everything and you'll have nothing left to give him. And so in any case, your promise will not be fulfilled. So don't give him it at all. Don't fulfill your promise. Because if you try, you will fail. So there's no point in trying. If you give up, with 2 steps, he'll take everything, and you won't be able to give him anything for his 3rd step. So then, in any case, you'll be a failure. Your religious principles will be broken because you're not able to fulfill your promise. So Shukracharya gives gives so many arguments about why Bali should not fulfill the promise. He says that you haven't spoken the word Om. Therefore you don't have to keep the promise. And Shastra says that you're supposed to divide your possessions in 5 parts. For religion, for reputation, for opulence, for sense gratification, for the maintenance of the family members. You're not doing that. You'll give everything to this brahmachari, and you'll not be able to fulfill your. You'll not be able to practice religious principles. You'll not be able to fulfill your dharmic obligations to your ancestors, etc., etc. But Bali Maharaj was not at all affected by Shukracharya's advice. Because Bali was a devotee, and he heard, oh, Shukracharya is saying that this brahmachari is actually the Supreme Lord. Oh, very nice. This is my opportunity to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So he's thinking this is very, very nice. So we can see how Vamanadeva has flattered Bali Maharaj. And then, after flattering him, he convinces him to give in charity, and then he steals everything from him. Because he takes 1 step, he covers the heavenly... No, he... Yeah, 1 step, he covers all the lower planetary systems all the way down. 2nd step, he covers all the heavenly planets, and even his toe even causes the Ganga to come by piercing the universe, the covering of the universe, and the Ganga flows. So he says, so he's taken this big huge form and he's covered the lower planets and the upper, everything. Everything which was what the possession of Bali, he's taken with 2 steps. So he said, now, you haven't fulfilled your promise. You have to give a 3rd step. So there's a hidden meaning in this verse that that he not only took away all the he will all not that he will not only that he will take away all the possessions of Bali Maharaj, but he will also steal the mind of Bali Maharaj. And this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur emphasizes this second meaning to this verse, that you'll also take away your mind. So certainly the mind of Bali was stolen away by Vamanadeva. So Bali said, so I only have one thing left to give, and that is myself, myself. So he said, you please place your third step upon my head. So Vamanadeva places third step upon his head and pushes Bali down to the hellish planets, where to the lower planetary systems, where he becomes the doorkeeper of Vishnu in the lower planetary systems. And so by surrendering everything, he becomes a Mahajan. Bali Maharaj is glorified as one of the Swayambhu Narada Kshambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishma Balir Vyasakir Vayam. These are the 12 Mahajans, and Bali is listed among them. By surrendering, even though he is born in a demoniac family, by surrendering to the Supreme Lord, he's become a foremost authority on religious principles. So this pastime of Lord Vaman here shows how Krishna is prepared to do anything for his devotee. Even to demonstrate material faults. Lord Vamanadeva, he came, and he was speaking such sweet when he was approached by Bali at the sacrificial arena. He was speaking such sweet words, praising Bali's family in order to flatter him, so that when he asked for his boon, that Bali would be very much inclined to give him. And then, what did he do? He stole everything from Bali. Everything. So isn't this the nature of a thief? In English we have this word, one kind of thief is called a con man. I don't know if you're familiar with that term. But a con man is someone who comes to you and speaks very sweet words, tells you about how he'll help you to make $1 million. You just have to invest $1,000 with him, and then he'll invest in this business, and he'll be partners with him, and then you'll make so much money. And then he gets the $1,000 from you, and he runs away. So this is called a con man, and this is a kind of thief. So Vamanadeva, he's taking this same kind of process. Why? Because Bali is his devotee. Because Bali is a devotee of the Supreme Lord, but he had some material desires. So Vishnu didn't want those material desires to stay. He wanted him to turn him into a pure devotee. And this is the Supreme Lord's business. He's always looking how to elevate the souls of this world. If the soul is totally materialistic, then he will somehow punish him in the material world until he understands he should lead a pious life. And then when he leads a pious life, he begins to appreciate saintly persons. And so Krishna sends his representatives, saintly devotee, to tell him how to become a devotee. So then he becomes a devotee, but he may still have material desires. So then Krishna makes an arrangement to take away all the material desires, all the material possessions of that devotee. Initially, Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, if a sincere devotee wants Krishna above everything, but at the same time is attached to material possessions that hinder his advancement in Krishna consciousness, by tactics the Lord takes away all his possessions. Krishna is such a thief, such a chore. He takes away, he blesses his devotee by taking things away from them. He's Lord Hari. So this pastime of shows how that Krishna is so merciful that he's even prepared to become a thief for the benefit of his devotee. And he's prepared to do not just become a thief. Actually, Srila Jiva, today is also Srila Jiva Goswami's appearance day. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they talk about how the different things that Krishna agrees to do in order to save his devotee, protect his devotee, deliver his devotee. And he says Krishna is even prepared to demonstrate material faults, appear to demonstrate material faults. So according to mundane estimation, Krishna has faults. But we know Krishna, of course, has no faults. But because he wants to bless his devotee, Krishna, he appears to demonstrate faulty behavior. So, in the Vaishnava Tantra, there's 18 faults of the conditioned souls are described. Moha Tandra Brahma Ruksha Rasata Kama Ulbana Lolita Mada Matsarya Hingsa Keda Parishrama Asatya Krodha Akanksha Ashanka Vishva Vibrahma Visha, then Visha Matva and Parapeksha. So these 18 faults of the conditioned souls are given in the Vaishnava Tantra. And Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they describe that Krishna demonstrates 16 of these 18 faults. Out of the 18 faults, he demonstrates 16 of them. The first one is moha, bewilderment. So what is an example of Krishna demonstrating bewilderment? Well, when Brahma stole all the cowherd boys and calves, Krishna's appeared to be looking around. Oh, where have the cows gone? Where have the cowherd boys? Then he goes looking for the cowherd boys. Oh, where have the cowherd boys gone? So he appears in order to deliver Brahma from his misunderstanding. He demonstrates moha, bewilderment. And then tundra, keda, parishrama. This is sleep. Keda is weariness, parishrama, fatigue. Krishna appears to be tired to sleep because in order to give pleasure to his mother, mother puts him to sleep and he's resting and sleeping. And this is very much pleasing to Mother Yashoda. So he demonstrates these faults also. Brahma, mistakes. Krishna sometimes makes mistakes. When Krishna and Balaram are small boys, they're crawling around the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And the cow dung and the cow urine are there, and they're crawling around. And they hear ankle bells. And they think, oh, that's my mother. So they go crawling towards those ankle bells to meet their mother. And then they see, oh, it's some other neighborhood lady. And they become very fearful and they run away to their mother. So, and this gives pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan. So this fault of Brahma is also there in Krishna. And then lolata, fickleness. Krishna, sometimes he acted in a very fickle way to give pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan. When it's just before the time of milking the cows, Krishna would go to the houses of some of the cowherd men and he would release all the calves. And they would drink the milk from the cows. And then they would be angry, then the cowherd men would be angry and they would just smile. And then if they're somehow or other prevented from doing that, then they would poke the young babies of the cowherd ladies and make them cry. So this kind of fickle behavior that Krishna demonstrated in order to give pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan. And Mada, appearing to be intoxicated. Sometimes Krishna, when he would meet his friends, he would be so happy to see his friends that his eyes would roll and he would appear to be very intoxicated by meeting his friends after a long time. Matsarya, enviousness, when Krishna appeared, seemed to have the fault of enviousness when Indra came with a Samvartaka cloud to pour devastating rainfall on Vrindavan. And Krishna said, I'm going to teach that Indra a lesson. I'm going to teach him a lesson that he'll never forget. And he lifted Govardhan Hill. So this appeared to be Matsarya on behalf of Krishna. Hingsa, violence. So many places we see Krishna killing demons. This is violent behavior in order to protect his devotees. Asatya. Krishna lies? Krishna doesn't tell the truth? When did Krishna lie? Or appear to lie? Krishna never tells a lie, actually. But sometimes he appears to lie. Just like when the cowherd boys complained to Mother Yashoda, Krishna's eating dirt. So Yashoda calls him. The cowherd boys are saying, you're eating dirt. How is that? This is not good. You should not eat dirt. It's very bad for you. Krishna says, I've never eaten dirt. The cowherd boys, they're all lying. I've never eaten dirt. If you want to see, you open my mouth and see whether I've eaten any dirt. Actually, there was a hidden meaning in what Krishna meant to say something. He was actually saying something else, but it appeared that he was lying. Mother Yashoda thought that he was lying. The other cowherd boy said that he was lying. Akanksha, very much eager to have the object of desire. Very much eager to have sense gratification. This is akanksha. So, Lord, baby Krishna's hungry. Mother Yashoda is churning butter. She's very busy churning butter. She can't stop. Krishna wants milk. So he's pulling on her sari, holding the churning rod so she has to stop churning. He's appearing to be very much eager for gratifying his senses with milk. But this is to give pleasure to his mother. Ashanka. This is Ashanka means doubt. So when Krishna was not finding the calves and the cowherd boys, then he expressed some doubt about whether what had happened. He expressed that he didn't know everything like that. But that was his Ashanka. Vishvavibhrama means engaging in material activities. This is one of the faults of the conditioned soul. They engage in material activities. Well, Krishna also engages in material activities by empowering Lord Brahma to create the material world. So he exhibits the fault of Vishvavibhrama. And Parapeksha means partiality. No, Parapeksha means dependence on others. Means dependence on others. So Krishna has a small boy. He pretended to be dependent on his parents. And then, very relevant for this verse, Vaishamatva, partiality. What is the verse in Bhagavad Gita that describes Krishna's Vaishamatva? Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho sinapriya ye bhajanti tumang bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So Krishna, he doesn't have material partiality, but he's partial to his devotees. Here, in this pastime, he's demonstrated partiality to Aditi and the demigods by fulfilling Aditi's desire to restore the demigods to the heavenly planets, exhibiting partiality to his devotees. And also he shows partiality to Bali by giving a higher benediction than he gives to the demigods, making him his personal servant and associate in the lower planetary systems. So Krishna has this partiality, and he also steals. Srila Prabhupada warns us in the purport. If one connects himself with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord takes away all his miseries. And in the beginning, the Lord also superficially appears to take away all his material possessions, reputation, education, and beauty. So everyone should be warned. Be careful about Krishna. If you're attached to your material possessions, education, wealth, reputation, beauty, if you're attached to all these things, be careful. Krishna will take them all away. He's Chora. He's a thief. But not just any kind of chora. He's chora agraganya. You know that in Hindi, do you have this word agraganya? Huh? No? It's in Bengali, I think. Ganya means to enumerate, to count. So if you're counting all, if you're examining all the choras, if you're enumerating all the choras, who's the agraganya chora? Krishna. He's the best. He's the best thief of all. He's the most expert thief. So you cannot avoid his thievery. If you have anything to do with Krishna, you cannot avoid his thievery. He'll take things away from you. He's very expert like that. So he's the best of all thieves. Chora agraganya. There's one very nice prayer composed by an unknown Vaishnava about Krishna the Supreme Thief. Vraje prasiddham navanita choram gopangananam chatukula choram aneka janmarjita papa choram chora gaganyam purusham namami. I offer my obeisances unto that supreme thief, Lord Hari, who is the best of all thieves. He's Navanita Choram. He steals the butter from the houses of the damsels of Rajabhumi. He's Gopangananam Chitakula Choram. He steals the garments of the cowherd girls. Aneka Janmarjita Papa Choram. He's famous for stealing all the sinful reactions of his devotees committed over unlimited births. He will steal them all away from you. Such a great thief. Choragaganyam purushang namami. The Vaishnava offers his obeisances to this supreme thief. Sri Radhikaya hridayasya choram navam buddhashyamalakanti choram Parashvatanam chasamasta choram choragaganyam purushang namami. Sri Radhikaya hridayasya choram. He steals the heart of Srimati Radharani. Navambuddha shyamalakanti choram. He steals the blackish hue of the rain clouds to it as his own color. Padashritanam cha samasta choram. Padashritanam cha. So someone, to someone who's padashritanam, someone who is shall take shelter of his feet, samasta choram, he takes everything away. So this devotee offers his obeisances to this best of all thieves. Yadiyanama piharat yashesham giri prasaran apipaparashin aschaya rupo nanu chorai drishtak shutova namaya kadapi. So it says yadiya namapi harat yashesham giri prasaran apipaparashin, that if one simply hears the name of this supreme thief, then all the sinful reactions go away. He steals all the sinful reactions. Such a great thief. Even just by hearing his name, all these sinful reactions are stolen away. He says, Ashchaya Rupo Nanu Chora Idrik. I've never heard, this Vaishnava is saying, I've never heard of such a wonderful thief as Krishna. Dhanam chamanam chatatendriyani pranang shahritva mama sarvameva palayase kutra dhrito dhyachoda tang bhakti. Idamna Simaya Niruddham. Dhanam Chamanam Chachetendriyani. Pranam Sharvidva Mama Sarvameva. So, dhanam, he steals dhanam, wealth. He steals mana, he steals the mind. He steals bank balance, money, land, property, prestige, fame, senses, mind, heart, everything. So what happened? So what? Palayase kutra dhuto dhyachora tvang bhakti damnasi maya nirudha. So you're such a thief. You're trying to run away from me. No, no. Now I'm going to catch you. And I'm going to tie you up. I'm going to tie you up. You're, where were you running? I will catch hold of you. You are such a great thief. But now you are caught. I will bind you. And is there any way to tie up Krishna? Do we know any way to tie up Krishna? What is that rope? Bhakti, right? With bhakti you can tie up Krishna so he can't run away. So he may steal everything. But if you have bhakti, then you, what do you get? He may steal all their possessions, but what do you get? You get Krishna with bhakti. So now I'm going to, this Vaishnava is saying, okay, you take everything away from me, that's fine, but I'm going to tie you up with this rope of bhakti and keep you in my heart. I'm sorry, I missed one verse. I have to go back. Third verse, I forgot. Akinchani kritya parashritam ya karoti bhikshung patigehahinam kenapyaho bhishana chorai drishtak shrutova na jagat trayepi. So someone who is a kinchana, so someone who is a kinchani kritya, someone who's given up everything and takes shelter of his lotus feet, he takes away karoti bhikshung patigeha hinam kenapyaho bhishana chora. He takes away everything. This material wealth, everything. They become, what do they become? They become beggars. Krishna takes away everything. What do you have to do? You have to become a beggar. And so you become a beggar on the street with no house, nothing. So this is the result. You'll everything will be taken away. You'll become a beggar on the street. So now this Vaishnava is saying, but I may be a beggar on the street, but I can with bhakti I can tie up Krishna and keep him in my heart. Next verse. Chanat sigoram yamapashabandham vinat sibhimam bhavapashabandham chinatsi sarvasya samastabandham naivadmano bhaktakritam tubandham chinatsi goram yamapashabandham. You can cut off the rope of Yamaraj. Yamaraj may come with his rope. You can cut that. You can binatsi bhimam bhavapashabandham. You can cut off my material bondage, my attachment. You can do that also. You can cut off all my attachments. Janatsi sarvasya samastabandha. You can cut everything. Naivatmano bhakti kritang dubandha. But you can't cut my rope of bhakti. If I have tie you up with the rope of bhakti, that rope you cannot cut. This is the Vaishnavas praying like that. Manmanase tamasarashi ghore karagrihe dukkamaye nibadham labasvahe chora hare chirayam sachorya dosho chitame vadandam. So okay, so now, where am I going to keep you? I have you tied up with bhakti. Where am I going to keep you? I have to put you in a prison house. You're a thief. You have to go to prison. Where is that prison? In the heart. I'm going to tie you up in the dark, dark prison house of my heart. And this is the right prison for you, this Vaishnava is saying. This is the proper punishment for your act of stealing. You've stolen everything from me. So I'm going to put you in the prison of my heart. Stay forever in this prison. I will never let you go. I will never let you go. And then the last verse, different meter. Karagrahe vasasada hridaye madiye madbhakti pashadrida bandana nishchalaksan tvam krishna he pralaya koti shatantare pi sarvasya chora hridayan nahimo chayami. So this bhakta, he's praying, Karagrahe vasasada hridaye madiye madbhakti pasha. Now I have bound you with the rope of love and put you in the prison house of my heart. Stay there, stay there, stay there. You cannot get yourself free from this very tight bondage. O Krishna, you have stolen everything from me, my material assets, my name, my fame, my beauty, my reputation, my kith and kin, my family members, my heart and mind. This is the proper punishment for you. To remain in this prison house of my heart, bound up very tightly with the rope of love, forever and ever. If crores of pralayas come, still I will not release you. This is a suitable punishment for such a great thief as you. So this is the prayer of a devotee. Yes, Krishna, you're a great thief. You steal everything from me, and then I will tie you up and put you in my heart. So, Vamanadev, he was a great thief, speaking sweet words to Bali in order to benefit him. So, on this day we remember Lord Vamanadev and Krishna, the supreme thief. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Questions, comments from the devotees? Microphone?
In Bhagavad Gita, it is talked about demoniac mentality.
Talked about?
Demoniac mentality.
Demoniac mentality, okay.
So, the Bali Maharaj belong to demoniac family, right? So, all the characteristics of that demoniac family, they are also prevailing now as well, Lord's observation, in this world. Demoniac characteristics.
Yeah.
But Bali Maharaj expressed different qualities.
What's that?
Bali Maharaj. Uh-huh. He expressed different qualities.
No, he was a devotee, but he had some material desires. But he was born in a family of demons, so he was favorably disposed to help his family members, his relatives, other demons. But he was a devotee. It was his family, he was doing his family, because he had material desires, he was acting for the benefit of his family. He had not renounced the material world. So he had some family duties to perform. But he was, in his heart, he was a devotee.
Okay. And there is one comment I can say, that we are serving Krishna. We are serving Krishna and to become servant of his servant of his servant. But in case of Bali Maharaj, Lord became his menial servant as a watchman, doorkeeper. So that is a great difference. That in case of Bali Maharaj, Lord became his servant.
Right.
Permanent servant. But we are trying to become servant of Krishna. That is the difference.
Anything, any other question, comments, devotees? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Shri Vijaya Vamana Dwarasi Mahamahotsava ki jai.